it is a very serious situation. What the communists are up to is to go right on from there, take over Iran, which borders Afghanistan on Afghanistan's west. And in other words, they're just east of Iran. And then they will go south, the next nation, what will get them into the Indian Ocean. And once they get there, they will control all of the Far East and the Middle East. And they will have enough control of the world that they will become masters of the world. Now, let me show you the main thing. Here is the main thing that you're not going to see on television news or in the newspapers. They don't realize this. But the nations in Europe are dependent on the United States to protect them from the Russian power, which with its satellites borders the European nations on their east. They are beginning to fear that President Carter won't do anything. He has just said that we're going to do something about the hostages in Iran, but nothing has been done. Nothing has been done. As I said, when God said and sent Moses to say, "Let my people go," to the Egyptian Pharaoh, God did something about it. But in Europe, they're beginning to fear that Carter isn't going to do anything. And also, the Roman Catholic Church is a lot concerned, too, because communism is atheism and would tend to stamp out the Roman Church just the same and do away with it. So, let me tell you, I know without evidence, I don't have the evidence and I don't need it, I know that there have been plenty of secret conferences between some of the members of the Curia in Rome and of the Roman Catholic Church and of leaders in the nations of Europe. And this is going to bring about, and probably much sooner than we thought, a resurrection of the medieval Holy Roman Empire, as it was called, which came on the heels later on after the fall of the ancient Roman Empire, which was, 476, wasn't it, A.D.? But in 554, I believe it was, the Holy Roman Empire succeeded it and lasted until 1814. But before we look into the immediate future, I want you to notice a few other things and what happened in the decade of the 70s. I'd like to have you notice now something back here in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. It is speaking about a time just prior to the time of the sixth angel sounding with the sixth of the plagues of God. I can't take time to read it all, but in verse 7, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel," which hadn't sounded yet, "when he shall begin to sound," the seventh angel, "the mystery of God should be finished, and he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take a little book and eat it." Well, really what I wanted to read to you was in verse 6, where an angel had come and said, "There will be time no longer." Or a better translation of that is, there will be no further delay. The things are going to happen right away. And then an angel came with this little book and told John, who was writing the book of Revelation, to take this little book and eat it. It would be sweet as honey in his mouth, but it would be very bitter in his stomach. So he took the little book from the angel, and he ate it. Now, verse 11, the last verse in the chapter. "And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy," or preach, "again, before many peoples and nations and tongues," that is, nations speaking different languages, "and kings." Now he was to go to kings. That hadn't been done before. Who is that speaking about? The time is just before the seventh angel. After the time of the sixth angel, and at the seventh trump, Christ will come. So it's holding up the coming of Christ until someone. This is not talking about ancient history. This is talking about us now. It's talking about someone right now. Who could it be? God has held up world events. and has deliberately held them up until someone goes not only into many other Gentile nations speaking different languages, but also to many kings. Brethren, let me tell you something. In the decade of the 70s, beginning in 1970, I have probably spoken to more kings, emperors, presidents, and prime ministers and heads of government than hardly any other man in the world. I'm quite sure I've spoken more than Henry Kissinger did. And I have been invited. I have not just forced my way in, because you don't do that, you know. But I have been invited. Now, I was just recently invited by the heads of government of the largest nation on earth to visit China. And I was the first world leader, religious leader, that is, from the world of Christianity, to be invited to communist China. And there I spoke publicly to audiences of 400 and 200 who were leading people in China and in the government. And one night there were the envoys or the ministers from 76 other nations there. In other words, representatives of the government of 76 other nations. And they were very interested in what I said. Now, many of you have already heard that. It was taped, and it's been passed on to the churches in the United States, and many of you have heard what I said. But there's the one thing I want to emphasize now. I was talking to the men that are, for example, one man is president of the National Education Society and the libraries. In China, they're doing something that other nations are not doing. They are educating their people, and they are trying to educate them in atheism, and they are teaching the people. I spoke to the men that are responsible for the thinking and are molding and shaping and changing the teaching of 1 billion people. That is 1,000 million people. That's one-fourth of all of the people on the face of the earth. I didn't go out to the grassroots people. I spoke to the men that are telling those grassroots people what they must believe. And I spoke to one of the three men at the top. There is a chairman that has taken the place of Chairman Mao Zedong. And there are two vice chairmen that have taken the places of Premier Chou Enlai. Now, the man that I did speak to is a vice chairman, and he was a contemporary with Chou Enlai and Mao Zedong, and has actually fought in the war, and he's right up at the top all the way along. And I was privileged to have 1 hour with him in person. He told me their objectives. He said a lot about the Russian objectives, which, of course, he was not in favor of. And then I told him what is going to happen in Europe, in the United Europe, and he should shake his head, and I said, I don't expect you to believe me now. You wait, and when it happens, remember I told you. And he isn't going to have to wait too long, and then maybe he'll believe what I said. And then I told him about the coming kingdom of God. And it's going to be one nation to rule all the nations of the earth, and that is the gospel and the only gospel of Jesus Christ. So, the decade of the 70s ended that way, and in the beginning of the last year of the 70s, the state of California assaulted us. Now, the future invasion of the Soviet forces into Afghanistan, since they entered 10 days ago, it has changed the entire world picture. In other words, as we often say in slang, it's an entire new ballgame now in world news. The United States foreign policy has absolutely changed, and as a matter of fact, the president has had meetings with the State Department and with the military people from the Pentagon, and they haven't made a final decision on all of the things of the policy that we will have as a foreign policy of the United States from now on. But Russia is planning to go on south through Pakistan to the Arabian Sea, and that will get them into control of the Indian Ocean, one of the three great oceans of the world. And that will give them control of all of Asia and all of the Middle East and of all of the oil of the world. And where are we going to be then? And where is Europe going to be? Now, Europe is alive to this thing. And they have long since begun to lose faith in the United States that we'll do anything. We just don't do anything anymore. We sit around and say we're going to do, but we don't do. Now, I want to say this. There is no nuclear war prophesied in the Bible between Russia and the United States. I do not think that that will come to a war between Russia and the United States. Russia knows that we can destroy them as well as they could destroy us. And I don't think they want to do that. But what it will do, it's going to arouse Europe, and they will unite, and there will be 10 nations in Europe, and they will be as powerful as Russia and as powerful as the United States, maybe more so. Now, we're going to be shipping a lot more of nuclear weapons over to Europe. We think that is a place that we need to have them so we can defend against Russia. Well, Europe will just shoot them right back at us a little later when they organize. That is going to bring on the Great Tribulation. Now I want to come to Matthew 24, and if you'll bear with me a little longer, let me see how the time is going by. Oh, I haven't spoken too long yet. I want to go now to Matthew 24. I want to take time to read quite a little of this, if I may. Jesus, well, he was speaking to his disciples, and they had been in the temple, and they had just come outside and were looking at the buildings of the temple. And Jesus told them that the time would come when the temple would be destroyed. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, I'm in verse 3 now, Matthew 24, the disciples came to him privately, said they went up to the Mount of Olives then after they had been down at the temple. They said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of your coming?" That's the second coming of Christ. "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" That's the end of this age, the end of this present world of man's building, where God said, "Go build your own nations, build your own educational system, build your own religions." And that's what we have, is the religions that men have built on the earth. So Jesus answered and said to them, now they wanted to know the sign before his second coming and the end of this age. "Take heed that no man deceive you." The first thing he said was they're going to be deceivers. Satan is the great deceiver, and he's going to have some that he will lead to try to deceive. Even he was talking to his own disciples. He was talking to the ones who became the first apostles. And even they had to be on guard against being deceived. And he said, "For many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive the many." Look how many have come saying Jesus is the Christ, preaching Christ to the nations, as one church denomination is doing on radio and television. Oh, they preach Christ, and they preach that he is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. But he said they will do that and deceive the many. And you hear of wars and rumors of wars and all that sort of thing. But nation will rise up against nation. Now then, he gave them only one sign by which they would know when we're near. He said in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom," the government of God, the kingdom of God on earth, "this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Brethren, I've been preaching that gospel into all the world. I've been going to kings and nations speaking different languages. There was a translator or an interpreter that was put with Mrs. Armstrong and me and went everywhere we went in China to interpret everything and perhaps to even listen to what we said ourselves. We were very careful even in the bedroom of what we said to one another. But nevertheless, we were very warmly and courteously received. And really, I think the people just warmed up to us over there, and they invited us to come again. Now then, it goes on that there would be a lot of trouble brewing, and finally it will come to the supreme crisis at the close in verse 21. "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be, a time of trouble greater than anything that had ever happened on earth or ever will again." Now, there can only be one trouble that great. "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive." That word "alive" ought to be there because it's not talking about spiritual salvation. It's being talked about anybody still living on the earth. "But for the elect's sake." And brethren, are you one of the elect? I hope you are. For the elect's sake, those are those in God's own church who are filled with His Holy Spirit, those days shall be shortened. Now, right after it, it goes on to show the signs in heaven, the day of the Lord, and then the coming of Christ. Now, with that, I want to put two or three other scriptures before I close. I'd like for you to turn next. You know, Daniel mentions the same thing, a time of trouble such as never happened before. And then it shows that the resurrection will come and many that sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. But I'd like to have you go next back to Jeremiah 30. And in verse, let me see, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. It's talking about this same time, for that day is great, so that none is like it. That has to be the same time. There can only be one time that is so great that no other could be so great. It shall be even the time of Jacob's trouble. Brethren, one of the very vital, important truths that God has revealed to this church, that no other church has, and nobody else knows, and we've even had ministers in this church trying to do away with this truth, that we are the remnant of the tribe of Manasseh, of the house of Israel. Now, Israel was divided into two nations, and the northern people were called the house of Israel. The southern people took the national name, the house of Judah, or kingdom of Judah. But the house of Israel was driven out between 718 and 721 B.C., and they moved then over to Western Europe and the British Isles. And the tribe of Ephraim moved into Britain, and the tribe of Manasseh later moved over into the United States, and we are the tribe of Manasseh, and we are the house of Israel. Now then, knowing that we are the house of Israel, turn with me real quickly now to the book of Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel 5 and verse 12, where it says, a third part of thee. Now I'll have to show you later who the thee is. Who's he talking about? A third part of thee shall die with a pestilence. In other words, there's going to be such a great drought that it will result in a great disease epidemic or pestilence. And with the famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee. And that's two-thirds. And I'm going to show you that, speaking of Britain and the United States. And I will scatter the third part to the four winds. The ones that remain are going to be scattered as slaves. I think some will go to South America, but mostly into Europe and the nations of Europe. After Europe unites in the holy so-called Roman Empire, united with church and state, with the Catholic Church sitting on top. Brethren, we're very near to that. And I can tell you that almost certainly that's going to happen in this decade. We've entered the decade of the 80s, the most crucial decade in all the history of mankind since Adam. Now, you'll notice over in the chapter just ahead, no, it's the same chapter, chapter 5, and in verse 4, it is speaking to the house of Israel. And again, I want you to notice, again, it is speaking of Israel. Speaking to the house of Israel, in verse 9, he says, and I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like. It's speaking of this same great tribulation. Now then, in chapter 6, and in verses 6 and 7, in all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste. Brethren, that couldn't happen until the time of the hydrogen bomb, until nuclear warfare had come. Now, one hydrogen bomb can destroy a whole city, such as Los Angeles, or San Francisco, or Washington, D.C., or New York City, and just think of the rubble of those skyscraper buildings that will come toppling down, or Cleveland, Ohio, or Kansas City, or Des Moines, Iowa, or St. Louis, Minneapolis, or Dallas, or Houston, Texas. it will destroy our cities, and that will take one-third of our people. One-third of the people. The sword is nuclear warfare today. Your cities shall lie waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken. Our idols are not carved in statues and images anymore. Our idols are, a lot of them are in Hollywood today. And they're worshipped as if they're idols. And celebrities. And our idols are sports and football. Our idols are the making of money and the things that money will buy. And look what has happened to the United States dollar. And look what is happening to gold, and we're on a gold standard. And the dollar is going down and down and down till it goes out. The slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. And all of that is speaking to the house of Israel. Now, in verse 11, it speaks about the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword and by the famine, and by the pestilence, just as I read to you in the preceding chapter. Now, there's no doubt about who it's speaking to, and there's no doubt about the time. And it's a time when Christ will come, and they're going to know that He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, I tell you, we're facing that very thing. And I think we're going to see those things coming in this decade that we just entered 5 days ago. And it's time for us to wake up. And if you want to still sleep, and any of you are asleep to these things, you sleep on and it's going to strike you. You better wake up while there is time. We're very close to that time of Revelation 3 and verse 10. Let me turn to that. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Because it's speaking of this church, the Philadelphia era of the church. Because thou hast kept my word, or the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that are upon the earth. In other words, the time of the great tribulation. And if we are worthy, if we are close enough to God, if we are praying enough, if we're close to God, if we're studying our Bibles, if we're diligent in church attendance and Bible study, and here in just a year and a half ago, things had gotten down at the headquarters in Pasadena where they were wanting to do away with the Bible study altogether. We couldn't get a minister to even take the Bible study. Let's see, how many people were there last Friday night? I think someone told me. 2,500 were at the Bible study in Pasadena. The last Bible study. The last Friday night. Now then, one more scripture, Luke 21 and verse 36, where we get this warning. Now, Luke 21 is Luke's version of the same thing that's in Matthew 24, and this is where he's been speaking about the same great tribulation. And here comes the warning from Christ. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. I was ridiculed by one or two ministers, and one of them was pretty closely related to me, when I used to preach as much as 20 years ago that we would be going and be taken to a place of safety. Well, let me begin to preach that again. And I say to you that that is definitely in the Word of God. And it's exactly, he's talking about the great tribulation here, and Jesus Christ says, to pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man with the time He's coming, because He's coming very, very soon. Christ may be here and the kingdom of God set up before this decade is out. I say may. I'm not setting any dates. But that could happen. And I will say definitely, and you can put that down, if it doesn't happen in this decade, it will in the next. But I think it's more likely to happen in this decade. I tell you, brethren, we're a lot closer to these things than most of us realize. Most of us have been asleep. And we need to wake up. Now, this church has been turned around in the last year. The doctrines have been restored. The truth has been restored that secular ministers were trying to do away with. Many of the ministers have been put out of the church that were secular and that were liberal and wanted to water down the truth of God. And we're going back to the old ways unto the truth of God. And God is blessing this church. Satan is angry and he's tried to bring the wrath of the greatest state and the biggest state in the whole United States to try to destroy us. They haven't destroyed us. We've had an increase in income this year. The membership has gone up and the people of God are united. And let me tell you, where the worst area in all the world of the Church of God was Pasadena, where the headquarters are supposed to be located. Actually, the headquarters are right here where I'm speaking to you right now, in my own home here in Tucson, Arizona. But it had gotten down where people hardly ever would come to a Bible study, and they wanted to do away with it altogether. Now they're so interested, they want to know more of the Word of God. It's time to wake up and get back and know what is being told us in the Word of God, and that we get on our knees a little bit more and get a little bit closer to God and a little bit farther away from the cares and the enjoyments and the pleasures of this world. Well, that's my message to you, brethren. And all I can do is warn you. As I told the vice chairman, one of the three men at the top, who is responsible for the thinking of a fourth of all of the people on the face of the earth, I said, I have told you. That's all I can do. You don't have to believe me. And I'm not responsible for making you believe me. My job is just to tell you. And I've told you. We had better be on our knees and we better be getting closer to God. This church has been changed. Let's change it still further and still closer to God now in this decade. Let's make it a decade when we really get close to Almighty God and His Son. And you might say our big brother, Jesus Christ. So, with that, I'll say God bless you all, and goodbye for now.